we have a subject tonight that is so much needed to discuss, to expose what the enemy's doing to people, to God's children. And so I'm excited about my guest being on tonight. But, you know, I've been waking up in the middle of the night lately. I don't know if you've experienced that, but I've been waking up like, I don't know, 1, 2, 3 o'clock, depending on what time I go to bed. And I'm just awake, you know, and I get out of bed because I don't want to keep my wife up. And, you know, I go in the other room or whatever. And it's been happening a lot. Some people say, well, that's God waking you up. Well, I could be, or it could be like maybe a burrito I ate too late before I went to bed. I don't know. But I will say this. I got it in my bones. I got it in my soul that something's going to happen. All right. Something. There's going to be some event. All right. Now, I'm not trying to do a prophecy here. I'm not. And by the way, I don't do doomsday. People go, oh, you do doomsday. No, I'm not a doomsdayer. No, I'm a new beginnings guy. You know, talking about the end times is not when things end. It's when they actually begin. All right. So I don't like the word end times. That's end times for people that don't know Jesus. They're end times for that, for them. But I am not a doomsdayer. I got to tell you, man, I see nothing but good stuff. And I see Jesus coming back on a white horse with his tongue sticking out, going to slay that beast. But until that happens, we need to preach the truth. We need to be willing to stand up for God, defend God, not a worry about defending, offending man, right? So I'm just telling you, something's going to happen. So just kind of keep that, you know, under your sleeve there, and we'll see. I'm not going to say it's a prophecy. If it did, I'd say God told me to tell you, but I'm not going to tell you that. All right. So what do you do when you're raised in like an average American family, right? Go to church, go to school, you know, your little girl. It appears from a distance, average American family, but behind it all, this little girl is being trafficked, human trafficking, sold into human trafficking, a victim of SRI, satanic ritual abuse, having her personality split. But then you ask yourself, how? How can this happen? And who's doing it? And what's the reason for it? What's the agenda? You know, Russ Dizdar, many interviews I've done with him. By the way, if you want to catch his interviews, go to davidhebner.tv. I have a Russ Dizdar channel, a tribute to him. You'll see all of this. He talks about over tens of millions of people in the United States alone that have been victims of SRA and that are program multiples. Over tens of million. That's shocking. And that was like 4 years ago. I'm sure it's probably more now. But how is this happening? He's talking about there's a coven in every neighborhood. How is this happening and the church is not talking about it? Well, we're talking about it and we're going to discuss it. And that's why I'm excited to have my guests on tonight. Miss Hope, how you doing, Hope?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Good, good. Hope is a great name for you. It's kind of an oxymoron, what you've gone through. And I'm glad you have that name, Hope, because no matter what you go through, there's always hope. Right, Hope?
Absolutely. The Lord gave me, I changed my name. So he gave me that name.
All right, good. All right. So I want to go back to the beginning because I want to paint this picture for everyone. And the reason we do this, Hope, is because there may be someone out there that is going through what you went through, that has gone through what you've gone through. They may be on the other side, God forbid, of being the handler of the program multiples, of being the seller of children, right? And then they can come to the Lord too, okay? It's for everybody. So I'm going to go to the beginning. You were born, and at birth, your mother died giving birth to you, correct?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And then you were given to some caretakers. Maybe you think they might be family. You're not really sure, maybe distance. But in any case, they were caretakers. They were in charge of of raising you, bringing you up as a child, and so forth. They went to church?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, went to church. Husband and wife?
I'm not really sure. As far as seeing them, they would have looked like a normal couple, a middle-class family. If you looked at them, that's what you would think.
Okay. Were there any other children in the household besides you?
Yes, there were two other boys in the house as well.
Okay. How old were they?
One was about 4 years younger than me, and one was about, about 8 years younger than me, and one was about 4 years older than me.
Okay. So what age were you when you were put under the care of these two people?
From birth, really. I was starting to be trafficked even as far back as really an infant. I don't remember a time when I wasn't.
Okay. I want to get into that. But again, I want to lay everything out. And thank you for answering these directly to the point, because right. I have a reason for this. So you're put into this family. Now, these two people that went to church, they were actually the ones that instigated behind the satanic ritual abuse, right?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. They very much infiltrate the church.
Oh, okay. All right. And you think your mother, before she died giving birth, was actually a breeder. You think she was involved in satanic ritual abuse. You think maybe she might have been a victim, or she might have been initiating it, or both.
I definitely believe that she was a victim. She was definitely a breeder. Since I got free, the Lord has really shown me that her heart, and I really believe I'll see her in heaven one day. But yeah, I believe she was just like me. She was a victim as well.
Okay. All right. So you're 4, 5, 6 years old. You're being trafficked. So I want to separate this. Okay. Human trafficking, satanic ritual abuse, and they're splitting your personality. Mm-hmm. What age did these things happen? Did they all happen at once?
It was all foundational level. So all the way from like 0 to 5 years old, that was when they started to really split my personality and to do a lot of torture and mind programming and things like that, just to try to cause my mind to split so I wouldn't remember the things that they were doing to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And just for you guys that are new to the channel or new to watching some maniac like me talk about these things, satanic ritual abuse. It can be a corporate, like covens, usually 13 people, but it can be less or more, or it can be what I call lone wolf, one twosies people doing it. They have different agendas. One could be to honor Satan, the holidays, satanic holidays, as a sacrifice type thing. The other could be to, in Hope's case, the split personality. So I just want to give you guys that. Program multiple is what we talk about in splitting personalities. People have a multiple personalities. In the world of psychology, which is where I come from, it's DID, dissociative identity disorder, but it's the same thing. But it's done for a different reason, probably. All right, so Hope, here you are, 4, 5 years old, and you're put into human trafficking, you're enduring satanic ritual abuse, and you're having your personality split. And you said it's all foundational, all kind of goes together. But let's talk about first the human trafficking, child trafficking. Without getting too in depth, because we are on social media, so I have to be sensitive that we don't get taken down. Who are they selling you to? You're 4 or 5 years old. Who in the world would be buying a 4 or 5 year old, and what area of the country were you in?
I was actually in Kentucky, in a small town in Kentucky. A lot of my program and a lot of what they were doing was to kind of have like the Kentucky girl, the country girl, like little princess kind of presentation for the buyers. But they were trafficking me in the church. There were definitely people in the church that were buying me.
Or in the head of the table, you're in the church, like in Sunday school, because you're 4 or 5 years old, and they're selling you to people in the church?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about that for a second, then we'll go outside. Who's buying you in the church? You don't obviously need to give names, but give me positions. Give me male or female. Give me age range.
Both male and female. It's kind of like there is a network that is like under the surface so that they can get away with what they're doing. Within the church, within like Christian conferences and things like that, they really target that to really hurt God's children. I mean, to take the church down, really, the foundation of the church.
Yeah. Now, I want to ask you something. We haven't talked about this because I come against the church system. I come against the modern day church. I come against the apostasy of the church, which really isn't God's church. It's a camouflage. And I think that's what you're talking about, is that apostate camouflage. We're not talking about the church, God's true people, right?
Absolutely. Not who yeah. Jesus died for, that, you know, not yeah. that at all. The people that are presenting themselves as the church that that look good, but really are a wolf's in sheep's clothing.
Hope, do you think that now that you're older and you look back at this, do you think people come to churches, certain churches, knowing that this kind of thing goes on, so they want to be a member so they can participate in child trafficking and by the way, folks, this child trafficking isn't just buying a child and having them work in a sweatshop. This is of a violation nature upon their sexuality. Do you think that they join these churches knowing that's kind of what they do, and so it looks good, they can hide underneath that?
Oh, I absolutely believe that. I believe, like you were saying with Russ Dizdar, I believe they infiltrate specifically towns and cities and, different places just to really take down the true church. I definitely think it's planned and it's strategic. You know, they have on the dark web, they can network and find out where to access children.
So some of these churches are just nothing more than fronts for human trafficking, is what you're saying.
Exactly. Right.
Oh my goodness. Wow. It goes deep, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Okay. So now we talked about the trafficking you. You're 4, 5, 6 years old. How long, and I'm talking trafficking, did this go on, selling you? What age did it stop?
It didn't stop. It just continued. I just had different handlers, different traffickers that kind of followed me wherever I was. Specifically, they wanted me to be. So I did not get free until I was 30 years old.
So even through your teens, going to school, you'd go to school, come home, do your homework, and then you would get sold to somebody, right? You'd go out and, okay. What does that look like? Did they put you in the car in the family station wagon and drive you over to somebody's house? Or what does that look like?
Normally, it would be like going, like they were going to go out to a dinner, and they would strategically have someone meet us there, to really see, do I want this child or do I not want this child? It's kind of like a product that they were selling. So if we went out to eat, anything like that, that they would make a connection there. I mean, it's all been planned ahead of time, of course. But it was really done in the school system. I mean, they were teachers and coaches in the school that I went to. So really every single thing was controlled. There wasn't anything that wasn't controlled.
Are you saying that there were teachers, even the principal in the schools you went to, that were buyers of, they would buy little kids and teenagers?
Right. They were involved. You know, it was a network of people and they stick together.
Yeah,
so that they can cover each other up.
Okay. So I want to lay out a scenario as if I'm making a movie, heaven help me, is that you're 13 years old and they're taking Hope, 13-year-old Hope, to a restaurant, going to meet, would they meet a man normally, or would you meet a woman who's going to be the buyer?
A lot of times it would be a man and a woman.
Together.
Yeah, it to kind of as a cover, it just looked like another couple that they were meeting.
Okay, so then you leave the dinner, you go with the couple that's buying you, the handlers, the people you were raised by, if that's what you want to call them, they leave. How many hours, how long are you with these people that have bought you?
Sometimes it would be overnight. Sometimes it would just be a couple hours. And then they would schedule, like if we went out of town, if they had someone out of town, then it would be like a weekend. But they had to hold up the facade of that they were this normal middle class family. So, you know, I had to be back in school and I had to kind of live this fake life for them to get away with what they were doing. So,
And this was of a sexual nature purely for that, because I'm not going to bring satanic ritual abuse into it yet. I just want to focus on the human trafficking, the child trafficking. This was to satisfy their perversion, right?
Right. Power, control.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Of course.
Okay. All right. And did you ever hope get pregnant due to these encounters?
Yes, I did. I never was allowed to carry a child full term. They always took the child, you know, through abortion. So,
okay. They wouldn't allow you to have the child then. So no. you weren't a breeder like you think your mother was. They terminated it. Okay. All right. When we come back, I'm going to be asking Hope about SRA, satanic ritual abuse. Folks, this is a hard thing to go through. All right. I mean, I want to commend Hope and ask God to bless her and protect her and anoint her for doing what she's doing, and all the victims that come forward and are willing to say this, because there's a lot of ridicule. There's a lot of people that don't believe it. They think you have a tinfoil hat on. But I've covered and interviewed nearly 100 people that have been victims of these various things, and they all have kind of the same story, and they don't know each other. You know, maybe some listen to this and that, but I can usually tell. I always do a pre-interview. And I believe Hope is real. I believe what she has gone through, for the most part, is real. I'm not going to say everything, because we don't know. Sometimes we're kids, we don't remember. We remember things that don't really exist. But the gist of it, the core of it, it's there. It's a hard thing, all right? So call somebody you know. If you don't mind, like, subscribe, be a part of this. Go to davidhebner.tv and sign up, because this is our mission. Our mission is to save the children, okay? Expose the enemy, save the children. So please go sign up to davidhebner.tv. I know I've asked you this, but we may have new people here. So forgive me if I can go, David, you do this. Well, there may be one person that needs to hear this. Okay. So we have Russ Isdar channel, LA Marzulli, Michael Lake, Sherry Tenpenny, Lisa Haven. It goes on and on, folks. I've got over 75, 80 people that you've heard of that are experts in the field of all these different things, you know, the mind control and program multiples, talking about Hollywood, demonic warfare, the things I'm talking to Hope about. This is what we cover. So go to davidhebner.tv and sign up, become a member. You get 2 months free if you would. And you can also see Last Evangels TV series. That's our new TV series where I play a cop. I bust underground churches for not registering with the government. Episode 2 deals with the insertion, which is kind of like the mark of the beast. And episode 3, which is coming out next month, deals with mind control. If you'd like to get involved with financing Last Evangelist, we have a crowdfunding site. You can go to lastevangelist.com, sign up, be a walk-on, have a walk-on role, be associate producer, or get a special thanks. I really appreciate it, you guys. I really do. I thank you so much. If you'd like to order any of our, have prayer, have someone pray for you, order any of the merchandise or whatever, donate, you can go to davidhebner.tv/give or /order, depending on what you want to do. Text the word CHOSEN to 91999. For prayer, go to 844-806-0006. We have someone there 8 in the morning to 8 in the evening that will pray for you, okay? Because we need to stick together as God's warriors, okay? We're talking to Hope. Hope, we've been talking about you getting caught up in child trafficking and all these different things, horrendous, just terrible. Now I want to talk about satanic ritual abuse. This is a different category. It's a different, I want people to understand this, a different agenda. So satanic ritual abuse, how did you fall into that? What does that look like? Was it the same people, the caretakers that were handling you, that put you in this? Were they giving you to the same people that bought you for human trafficking? What does that look like?
Yeah, it was all really meshed together. The people that were trafficking were absolutely, doing satanic rituals around everything that was going on with the trafficking. So it really, a lot of times, meshes together a lot more than what people realize. Okay. There's a lot of satanic ritual abuse in sex trafficking. So yeah, that was going on. I don't remember a time when it was not going on. They very much hated God and hated me. So
okay. So again, I'm going to break this down. So you're 8 years old, sitting at in a restaurant. They bring you in. There's a couple there, two people, man, woman. They buy you as a, because you're being trafficked, they're paying money for you for favors, okay? But at the same time, they take you out to a room, they take you to a garage, take you someplace, and now they're performing satanic ritual abuse on you. So now we're at a different level for a different reason. What? Give me an incident that you went through that, give me the place, what it looked like, what were they doing? Again, can't be too graphic because, I don't know who's listening, but go ahead.
Right. Really, where I lived, there was a lot of land. Most of the time people would come there because they had a lot of a land where they could really cover up what they were doing as far as the rituals and things like that they were doing. But, they, on the outside, of course, they look perfect, like a perfect family. But when we went home, it was 100% different. They would continually be cursing me. And they had a lot of corporate rituals where there was, really a lot of witchcraft and sacrifices and sexual rituals, things like that. So a lot of corporate things where they would come together, and that's how they would get their power to kind of cover up what they were doing, like a demonic cover, so that nobody would know what they were doing, to kind of blend in.
All right. And these were the people that were taking care of you. They had their own SRA, satanic ritual events, right?
Right.
Okay. All right. Now, you mentioned there was a child they had that was younger than you, and there was a child they had that was older than you. Were these children also trafficked? Were they involved in SRA?
Yes. They were. They were absolutely. And a lot of times with satanic ritual abuse, the worst torment and the worst pain is having to watch somebody that you care about, because you connect with these other kids that you're with, And, you know, that's really the most excruciating thing to see them in pain or to have to hurt them. You know, they always pit you against each other.
Okay. So what does the parents look like? What did your caretakers look like? Were they, you know, normal, like you see people going to church, you know, you watch church on television, you pan over, you see people in dressing nice, you know, hair nice and everything. Did they look like that? Or look like a bunch of, I mean, I was raised in a trailer park, so I can say this. They look like a bunch of trailer trash. What'd they look like?
No, I mean, I think that's what the sad part. I think a lot of times people think that trafficking and satanic ritual abuse, you know, it's, they're all dressed in black or they are, you know, poor, you know, like you said, trailer trash, but these people were, you know, teachers and they fit in, they looked normal. They looked like, just anybody that you would see in a couple in a church and a family in church. That's what it looked like. So, they deliberately do that, you know, as you've been exposing, the truth is, you know, in the Bible, it says that Satan comes as an angel of light and even more so his followers. And, you know, that's how they get away with what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Matter of fact, let's go to scripture. I want to go to, Psalms 146:7. Who executes justice for the oppressed. We're talking about God, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. Hope, there is going to be a day of reckoning. God takes care of his people. God took care of you, because look at you now. Look where you are. You're exposing it. You came through it, okay? So now I want to go back to your handlers, and the reason is because I want people to know their next door neighbor, know the people they go to church with, be able to see, identify things. What is it that people can look for if a little girl, a little boy is being trafficked or a victim of SRA? What can people look for when it comes to their caretakers or their mom and dad or whoever is taking care of them? Is there any habits, any characteristics that are displayed that people can look for?
Well, I know for my handlers, and specifically all the ones that I've seen, they very much cause division wherever they go. Now, the tricky part is they don't get blamed for the division and the turmoil and stuff that goes on when they're around. Right. It always gets blamed on someone else. So that's kind of how they get away with what they do. They cause, you know, they're cursing and they're praying against things and they're causing people to be in trances and things like that. To have that demonic covering over them so they look really good. So I think most of all is just praying and asking the Lord to kind of give discernment when there's a lot of turmoil, a lot of division, a lot of things like that. Like, what is the true source of that?
Well, okay, but now your handlers, the man and woman who also had biological children, was the father, the man, was he possessive over you? Did he control? What was he like? What was the woman's personality like?
Both of them were extremely controlling. I mean, it's really sex slavery. Okay. Every single little thing was.
Okay. When you said they caused chaos, did they come in and start gossiping and start spreading rumors? I call that the Jezebel spirit. You know, they'll just kind of go and sneak around and plant little deceptive seeds and watch them grow until a church, you know, disintegrates. Is that kind of what happens?
Yes, absolutely. The first church from when I was little that I was in, they began to start telling lies about the pastor and his wife and things like that. But it never, of course, nobody knew that it was them that was doing that. But they didn't like the pastor because he wasn't involved in all the trafficking and in all of the things that were going on. So they really wanted him to get kicked out of the church, which he ended up getting kicked out of the church.
Yeah, I did an interview with Russ Izdar. Again, it's on David Hebner TV on that Russ Izdar tribute channel, about how they intentionally come into churches and want to split them and take churches out. If your church is on fire for God, that's the church they want. Okay, that's the church they want. They want to come in and shake that puppy, you know, to kingdom coming back. If it's a church that's not, that's the one they'll go occupy and use as a front for their perversion, right? That's kind of what
exactly. We, you know. Exactly. They definitely target with the rituals and things like that. The churches, they can sense and tell if they're, you know, filled with the Spirit and, you know, the Lord is really working there. They definitely target those and do a lot of rituals against them.
Yeah. Hope, when we come back, I'm going to ask you about Jeffrey Epstein, Epstein Island, 5 years old, 100 personalities or more. But I want to ask you about these things. So when we come back, we're going to be talking to Hope. Thank you, Hope, so much. All right, everybody. Listen, one other thing I want to mention to you, these are things, they're tools, okay? These are tools. This is, so many people say, David, how do I use my authority? How I use my power? Well, I wrote a book, True Power. This is a war manual, okay? It's a war manual on how to deal with demons in these last days. Also, the story of my life in Hollywood. End times investigation. This is mind control, how I witnessed channeling. Things so dark, you got to read this. The alien demon connection, demon portals, astral projection, program multiples, right here. Most of the stuff I had firsthand experience with. And so I've had people read this and go, David, it's answered a lot of my questions. So that's why I wrote it. All right. So you can get those books. We have a little store you can go to. But when you go there, I also want to tell you about End Times Investigation. 8 hours of Illuminati, astral projection, alien demon, everything I talk about. 8 hours with L.A. Marzulli, Russ Izdar, Michael Lake, Mike Spaulding. I mean, many, many more people. And also episode 1 and 2 of Last Evangelist. Go to davidhebner.tv/order or call 844-806-0006, or you can text the word CHOSEN to 91999. It's up on the screen, except just put order instead of give, davidhebner.tv/give. And why do I talk about this? I talk about it because they're tools, okay? Do we make any money? We make pennies, and it really helps the ministry. Even pennies will help this ministry. And if you'd like to go and just donate, that'd be awesome too. I appreciate it. But I have these things not to sell you, because if you can't afford it, I'll give it to you. But they're tools to help you in these last, in these end times, right? You can even get your t-shirt. My vaccine is the blood of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is my booster, all right? And don't forget about David Hebner TV. I really appreciate you guys. And don't forget about lastevangelist.com. Go and make a donation so we can finish episode 3. These things are so important to get out to people. All right. We're talking to Hope today. Hope, was that, that wasn't always your name. What was your name you were born with?
It was Dena, D-E-N-A. They called me Devil, but that was my name before, and the Lord changed my name.
When, how old were you when God changed your name?
It wasn't until I was about 33 or 34 when I changed my name legally.
Well, I got to tell you, my daughter's name is Adina. I call her Dina, and she's definitely not a devil. She's an angel. But when it comes to the evil, she can be a devil. She can throw the evil out on the rear end, you know. little forced, but they called you a devil. Okay. Mm-hmm. Even when you were a kid growing up, they called you. What, how did that make you feel when they put a level, a name, you know, a label on you, devil?
Well, I think that was the whole purpose was really to make me think that I was completely evil and that I was a devil, so that I would think that I deserved what they were doing to me and wouldn't really ever think that there would be a way out of what I was going through. So
yeah, that was a part of brainwashing, wasn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
You tell a kid long enough they're a devil, they're going to start believing it.
Absolutely. And, you know, at the core of my being, I really thought that, you know, God hated me. God thought I was a devil. I mean, they told me all these things and, you know, twisted scripture and things like that. So I just thought I was, you know, I deserved everything, that I was so bad.
Right, right. I want to talk about Epstein Island. You know, in a way, I'm so sick of talking about Jeffrey Epstein and about this island. And, you know, the files came out, but I haven't heard anything. People like us with, you know, on social media with broadcasts and podcasts, we're just salivating, waiting to get these files to see. And yet nothing's come out. I think they will, but nothing. And whatever happened to Jeffrey, did he really die? I don't think so. And what about his girlfriend? She's the only one with this black book that supposedly got nailed. Are you kidding me? There's got to be a lot more people. But Hope, you were a victim of Epstein and the island, right?
Right.
How old were you the first time you went to the island?
So he actually had more islands than just one island. And then, of course, he had New York and he had Mexico and stuff. So there was a lot of underground things that were going on, a lot more deep than what's been shown in the media. So I began to be trafficked by Epstein when I was 5 years old. They actually signed paperwork to where he had ownership of me and could traffic me or use me anytime he wanted to. So
did you go to his island physically? Did they fly you over there?
Yes, it was actually a cruise, so it kind of looked like, you know, it was a normal family out vacation outing. But, you know, and that's how a lot of the kids were trafficked. But yeah, I definitely was taken there.
Cruises. So that kind of makes sense because you're on a cruise. They just stop by the island. They drop you off or they meet you at some nearby country, island, whatever, pick you up, take you. Yeah, it makes all the sense in the world.
Right.
All right. So, and you remember him. You remember seeing him, right?
Yeah, of course, when I was little, or when I was being trafficked, I really didn't know who he was or what he was, other than he had a lot of high level connections with a lot of people.
Hope, in underground, which is, you're going to be with us in underground, folks, in about 20 minutes, we're going to be underground. You can only be underground if you're a member of David Heavener TV. But Hope, I don't want to mention names here, but I will in underground. So folks, if you guys want to get more information, more in depth on this, more details, be with us on underground, because I'm going to ask Hope some very, very revealing questions that I believe is going to reveal a lot of truth. I'm not afraid underground to mention names, not at all, because if they did it, they did it, they need to be nailed. Do you think Jeffrey Epstein died? You think he's dead?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. I feel like, you know, there is a lot of connections. And like I said, I'm definitely not going to name the names right now, but there's so many people, very powerful people that are involved. So I doubt that he is.
Yeah. Politicians, people from Hollywood, sports figures, Wall Street, a lot of people are involved.
Media.
So basically they wanted to cover it up, not so much get rid of him, but to make it look like he died and then take him somewhere else and basically control him, make sure he doesn't, you know, spill the beans or whatever. I don't know. I mean, that's got to be a sequel. I have no idea. The whole thing's so crazy. Okay, so I want to ask you about program multiples before we go. You were a victim of SRA, and I said before there's different agendas. There's two main agendas. One is the Satanic Ritual Abuse Ceremony honors their gods, which is Lucifer, Satan, Satanic Holidays. The other one is to split personalities. Am I on the money on this, Hope?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
Okay. Which one did you experience, or did you experience more of?
I experienced both and to a large degree. I mean, when it comes to splitting my personality, you know, these people, they know a lot about the brain and they know how to split your mind. They're very smart people. Right. So I actually had hundreds, you know, maybe even thousands. I definitely didn't count them as I was getting freed from all of that. But there was a lot. Yeah. But that's what happens when you have torture and, you know, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, you had hundreds of personalities. They were splitting you. What's the reason they were splitting you? What was their agenda? What were they? What did they want? They trained one personality to do a specific thing. I think I know what it is, but I want you to say it.
Well, for me, they wanted to put me in churches and Christian conferences and things like that to kind of take down ministries. Of course, I wasn't consciously doing that, but I, you know, through threats, through I'm going to get rid of this person, I'm going to do this to this person, you really have no choice. You do whatever they tell you to do. So, yeah, I am a lot of that for sure.
Okay. So again, I want to keep it simple. 9 times out of 10, they were programming you through this satanic ritual abuse, inflicting pain. So that what happens, folks, when especially a child, they love to work with children because children are so, it's kind of like working with wet cement. Okay. Kids are like wet cement. It's easier, you know, when it gets drier, it's more difficult, but they split the personality through inducing severe pain. So what happens when we have so much pain, we go off into an alternate universe, alternate personality. Okay. If you do that enough, you'll have a lot of different personalities. Then they'll take one personality and they will program it to do a specific thing. And what Hope said for her, which I kind of figured, that they would send her back into churches to take down people, to let to a sexual nature, say a pastor. And then all of a sudden the pastor falls into the trap that Hope sets up through this personality. And now the pastor gets blackmailed, you know, or gets taken out. And so this is what she was programmed for. Now, Hope, you had several other personalities and they had names. What were they and how old were they? What was their names?
Well, you know, I think we talked about, you know, I had tons of ministry. So right now I have a couple that are one's 5 years old and one's 3 years old. And more trying to take on an adult role and make sure everything is done perfectly. And like a pink princess, a little princess programming, to look good, but do exactly what they told me to do.
Okay. Are you still have these personalities you're dealing with?
I have a couple, left. Yes.
Okay. So let's talk about them. One is a pink, like a princess. What's her name? 5 years old.
Lovely.
Lovely. Okay.
I mean, God changed her name. It was a really bad name before, but,
And, okay. And what does Lovely do? What's her purpose right now? What is she, what's her agenda? What's she trying to tell you?
Well, I think now, of course, before it was more of to act like a little girl, like a princess, but then also to perform sexually like they wanted her to. But now the Lord is in his healing is given that part of my mind the ability to kind of enjoy life, to do fun things. I go to a class where we jump on trampolines and things like that, you know, you know, to enjoy life, to actually have some fun.
Yeah. Right, right, right. And when we go to underground, I want to talk about the three-year-old. Her name is Trust, what her purpose is. We'll talk about it in underground. And I also want to talk about how you got set free, how you, how God healed you. And for those out there listening, I want to say something. If you've experienced programming or abuse of any sort and your personality has split where you have more than one, you must understand that not every program multiple has demons, but they can, okay? So there's two parts to it. One is the personalities, any given personality could have a demon, could have demons manifesting, and these demons need to be cast out. There needs to be deliverance, okay? But that's not the end of it. And this is where people get it wrong and where victims really end up falling back and getting hurt is there needs to be healing after that. You know, it's a healing process. And this is where Jesus comes in. Well, Jesus is always in it because without the power of God, we couldn't cast demons out. But I'm just saying, once the demons are gone, there needs to be a healing. There needs to be like putting your leg in a cast, right? And I think what Hope is talking about is this healing with Lovely and Trust. There's you're going through a period of healing. Hope, am I partly right on that?
Oh, that's absolutely correct. I mean, and, you know, to kind of to talk about the demons, you know, I went through a lot of deliverance. For me, a lot of the programming was for me to take on demons willfully because they said, if you don't do that, then we're going to do this to this child. So it was like there wasn't a choice there. I had to accept them. And yeah. So I had to get deliverance from that.
Yeah. And again, we get to underground. We're going to be naming some names. I don't have a problem with that, folks. If that's really the situation. Also, too, you saw a lot of children go through some horrendous things, even to the point of not living anymore, right?
Right.
I got to choose my words carefully. Some horrific things. What are you doing now? Do you ever slip back into it? I mean, Hope, you've gone through so much stuff, you know, I mean, stuff I can't even imagine. I've gone through stuff, but not what you've gone through. But I can tell you, because I've gone through it, I'll still get hit every once in a while out of left field by a demon that'll bring back those memories, bring back the feelings of the addiction, bring back the, you know, whatever it is that he hit me with. Did you, going through what you went through, have to suffer addiction going through this stuff? If so, what type of addiction did you have to suffer?
You know, once I got free, I really didn't go through any addiction. They, of course, in all the rituals, have you get addicted to drugs just to cause torment. But I definitely went through years, like 20 plus years of deliverance and healing, looking at the memories. You know, I'm still healing today. I just am in a much better place. I don't have to do it on a daily basis. It's, you know, every now and then a memory will come back, but it's not anywhere where it was. I can actually enjoy my life now.
Right. What you're saying though is Well, there's two kinds of addiction. One is the drugs, one is the lust, because of what you were put through. Did you have that addiction of lust while you were going through all this stuff before you were delivered?
Well, for me, they did more of like a double bind. As at the foundational level, they caused me to be addicted to sex. And then they also programmed me to hate myself for it. Mm-hmm. It was just like a double bind there. So on the surface, I would never present anything like that. I would only present it in the rituals and things like that.
Right. Because there was so much shame, toxic
exactly.
shame.
Exactly. Right. I hated myself. Right.
You know, the hope they could have done that because they didn't want you acting out outside of their control, you know?
Absolutely.
And they do that. They create another personality to kind of control the other personality, to keep the other personality from acting out, from doing certain things. Just like in shooters, I talk about this a lot. A lot of these shooters that go in and shoot up, you'll notice that their personality is to go out and destroy. But then at the end of the day, they have that personality that's suicidal. And they'll end up taking their own life because whoever programmed them, they don't want to be exposed because they're afraid if the person lives through that, there could be some exposure, right?
Right.
And so they kind of did that with you with this toxic shame personality. That was kind of like a suicidal personality to keep the other personality in control.
In check, so that wouldn't be a continual acting out, right?
Yeah, so it wouldn't be. You know, you look at a lot of when I say look, I don't mean you look or we look, but if you look at pornography and you see the men and women in there, do you think a lot of them were victims of SRA or are programmed, like that's a personality they use to do those kind of things?
Yeah, I definitely think that there's networks in that. Absolutely. I think that there's MK Ultra, satanic ritual abuse, people that it's just they're using that specific part of their personality.
Right. And I do want to talk about MK Ultra just for a moment. I'm going to talk about it more in Underground. Folks, we're going to talk about this stuff, dissect it in Underground. You get to talk to Hope, ask her a question. We're going to be praying for her, praying for you if you need it. So MK Ultra, how did that come into your space? Did that come through Jeffrey Epstein? Did it come through your handlers? Where did it come from?
My handlers were involved at a lower level. You know, their connections with the government and stuff like that were very obvious. On a whole nother level when it comes to Epstein and the people that were connected to him.
Yeah, gotcha. So I want to talk about the government, but not the government people think about, Hope. You know, they talk about, well, you got Trump, you got, you know, Biden, you got, no, not that government. That's the pimple on the butt of a cow. I'm talking about the Satan's government. Because you got Satan's government versus God's government. I'm talking about the one world government, the mm-hmm. deep, true deep state, the deep right. dark state. That's the government we're talking about. Mm-hmm. This is what this MK Ultra is tied to. It's mind control. And you think it's running rampant now more than ever and more than
we? Oh, absolutely. It's never stopped. I just think it's more prevalent in smaller towns and cities and like it's strategically placed everywhere. So it's actually grown.
Yeah. Well, Hope, we're going to go underground. Tell everybody how they can get in touch with you, how they can help support your ministry. What is your website?
Yeah, my website is hopeburlgreen.com. And I'm pretty much on every social media platform if you look under Hope Burl Green. And then I also have a book called To Tell the Truth that goes to very deep level specifics about the programming and the different things that I went through.
Okay. And that's Hope Beryl, B-E-R-R-E-L?
It's B-E-R-Y-L.
Like Y-L, Green.
Gemstone.
Green. Dot com, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dot com. Okay. And if you guys can't find her, just contact me. I'll give you a direct link to her, but she's going to be with us underground in just a few minutes. Hope, thank you so much. And God bless you. I appreciate all you're doing.
Thank you for all the work that you, I mean, it just, I'm so eternally grateful for a platform to tell my story, and that you're giving other survivors the same thing. It's just amazing. So thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you. And we'll see you in just a few minutes. All right. Hope. There is hope. Hope is through Jesus Christ. We can talk all we want, but without the blood of Jesus, it's nothing, folks. Maybe you've gone through this. Maybe you're going through it. Maybe you know somebody that's going through it. I want you to call me, 844-806-0006. Let me know your story. If you want to come on the air, and I always talk to people off the air first to make sure it's legit, or it's something that would fit into what God's called me to do, let me know your story. You can email me, david@davidhebner.tv, and let me know. Thank you for supporting this ministry. Once again, I want to tell you how you can support it. You can just go to davidhebner.tv/give, or text the word CHOSEN to 91999. And also, too, you can bless this ministry, which is a car and land donation ministry, and it will bless our ministry here. If you donate your car, or you got land or an old house or something, RV, whatever, boat, you can call 855-500-RIDE, or you can call 844-277-HOME, H-O-M-E. You certainly would bless them. Money goes for a good cause, and it blesses us, okay? So I want to thank you guys for being with us. And remember, we're going underground, so you got to get your end times popcorn out and get ready, because we're going to cover some stuff like you'd never believe with Hope, who's so kind to, you know, to be with us. So God bless you guys. I appreciate y'all so much. And if you get a chance, call somebody you love, or even somebody you don't love, and tell them, say, hey, you know what? Every Monday night, 7 p.m., I want you to come with me and spend an hour with David Hebner as we talk about these last things. Because, folks, we have to stick together. We've got to talk about it. We've got to be a part of the solution and not just a part of the problem. Okay? Love you guys. Appreciate you. I just want to thank you for watching my shows. My new show, episode 2 of Last Evangelist, is out. It's about the jab, the deadly jab, the truth of it. And if you'd like to see it, you can go to davidhebner.tv and watch it. It talks about the mark of the beast, the new AI Bible, this new Jesus they've created. I want you to go and sign up right now, davidhebner.tv. Or call 844-806-0006. Episode 2 depicts of the world of which the vaccine operates, the deception behind it, what's happening now, and what's going to happen in the very near future. You know, we're in the middle of filming episode 3 of Last Evangelist. And if you haven't seen episode 1 and 2, you got to watch it. Episode 3 deals with mind control, AI. And folks, it's coming. And I'm asking if you'll get involved in donating to episode 3. Just go to lastevangelist.com, and you can be an actor, you can be a producer, you can get hats, t-shirts, whatever, but it will help us. God said, go to my people, don't go to studios. And I'm not. I'm going to God's people, coming to you. So please help us with this, to get the word out, to expose the Antichrist. Go to lastevangelist.com. If you would like to help out the ministry, you can go to davidhebner.tv/give. I love you guys.